All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. I want to thank my last guest, Joe Brennan, president of the Greater Milwaukee Committee. It was good seeing him again, as well as it is seeing my next guest, my good friend Robert Miranda of Fresh Water for Life, a.k.a. Flack. Hey, good morning, man. How you doing, man?
Good morning, Errol. Good morning to everybody.
Look, man, let's just, you know, those in the listening audience, 844-967-2789, love to hear from you about how important you think fresh water is. How important is it that you have fresh water?
Oh, you know, water is life.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line.
What is it about this country, Robert, that we are poisoning the citizens in many places, rural areas, the cities, and yet we go all over the world trying to make sure that other nations have fresh water? Right? Mm-hmm. We always talk about it. We spend water.
Right.
And we don't even take care of the people in this country with fresh water.
Yeah, well, we've got a system that is so adherent to the need of money that they are forsaking their water. So basically, you know, all these deregulations and all this stuff with the EPA and everything all being basically downrated and taken apart is not for the interests of health or to make sure that the citizenry has fresh, clean water. It's more in the interests of profit and people making money. And so we've replaced the whole concept of general welfare for all, for
right.
people to be able to have and enjoy water that is not going to compromise their health, not going to damage their health. For people who basically see this as nothing more than a money game, and health and fresh water and clean water is nothing to them. Because for them, when they bring their money in, they're going to get fresh water for themselves. You know, they're only worried about themselves. They're not worried about the entire community.
You know, Robert, we often get caught up in, well, the Republicans are doing this. This is across the board, right? I mean,
yeah,
this has nothing to do with whether it's Democrats or Republicans. In the end, the fact of the matter is people don't even know the water's being poisoned, right?
Right, right. A lot of people are being misled with half-truths, misinformation. They're being misled by people who are citing studies that are not peer-reviewed, scientific studies. You know, you got a person who has the gift of gab and understands how to use the language in a way that to the regular layperson confuses them, and that person just looks at you and you're saying things like calcite this and pH
right.
that, and that person says, okay, you know what you're talking about.
Right.
Well, not necessarily. Some of these people don't know what they're talking about. They know what they're talking about if they're trying to mislead you and trying to make you think that they know what they're talking about. But if you put those people in front of somebody who also knows what they're talking about, which they try to avoid as much, like a lot of people over at City Hall, they don't want to talk to me one-on-one. And they have a lot of community partners out there who have made it a very concerted effort and a very organized effort to isolate and marginalize my work and isolate and marginalize our group. From being able to engage in more public settings so that we can basically speak and show the people what the truth is and what the message and the narrative should be when it comes to fresh water.
So what I know about you, man, is you're just a troublemaker.
Yes, of course.
And
I'm proud of it.
and so this is what people do to truth tellers and truth bearers in this country.
Right.
And for the people in, you know, who are listening across the state who may say, well, okay, so you're talking about issues that impact the people in Milwaukee.
It impacts the whole state.
Right.
This is a major. Water is a major issue among, around the state. It may have different varying matters that may concern specific communities, but generally, water is a major issue around the state. You know, some communities may have issues that have runoffs because of pesticides or because of manure and stuff like that.
Right.
Like me, I just threw water.
That's all right, man. Don't worry about that. That's
and,
all right.
And so, you know, here in Milwaukee, the issue for us is
we'll take care of it.
Lead. It's about lead. And it's about lead because you have 66,000 plus homes who have to deal with this very toxic, very poisonous. You know, even in the Milwaukee Water Works website, they say no level of lead is safe. No level. It should be no level of lead in your water. But people out there, you know, saying, well, you know, if it's under the EPA suggested guideline of 15 parts per billion, you're okay. No, that's not true. First of all, the EPA guideline on their suggestion of 15 parts per billion is not based on health. It's just the number that somebody pulled out of their butt and threw it out there and said, this is what's going to be. One part per billion, two part per billion, five part per billion is not zero tolerance, is not a safe level, period. And, you know, people say, well, I've been drinking this water for so long, and I've been drinking from these lead pipes for so long, and I'm not suffering any health effects. You can't say that. You don't know, because the studies are out there to show for adults, this could have major consequences if you've been drinking that water like that for 30, 40 years to your memory, to your bones, to your joints, to your coronary respiratory system, you know. All of this stuff matters for you when you're young. By the time you're older, it ain't about just old age catching up to you. It's about all of them toxins in you that have contributed to the demise of
Robert,
your health.
So, people may say, who are listening, are you telling me we can't trust the government, we can't trust the people, and that then maybe they're not aware of this, and you come in and you're saying basically that, you know, people aren't being truthful?
Well, let me tell you this. You've been following me now on this issue for about 8 years, right?
Right.
8 years ago, we were being told in the city of Milwaukee that the lead program in Milwaukee is a national model. It was the best program.
You mean the clearing of the lead from the water, from the pipes?
The lead program entirely.
Right, and the paint and all
paint
those
and
things.
Right. We're the best in the country.
Right.
You know, we got involved in 2015. We started exposing that.
And who is the we? Let's talk.
The Freshwater for Life Action Coalition.
Which is what?
Which is a community grassroots organization that was comprised when we started of various professionals, PhDs, doctors, scientists, grassroots organizer, environmental experts. And, you know, we got together and we saw some of the information that was being put out by the city at that time. And one of the persons involved in our initial work was former Alderman Joe Davis, who actually ran for mayor and made the water issue a platform. And when we started hearing how, at the time, Mayor Barrett was responding to his words on regards to the water, we knew that this was a complete fabrication and lie that was coming from Mayor Barrett at the time when it came to the issue of water. Now, we were organizing. We began organizing. Our first year of organizing, we started causing all kinds of people to attack us and tell people not to listen to us, but we kept moving. And in 2007, we knew the dam was going to break when the first sign of a hole in the wall started leaking, no pun intended, water. And we had the superintendent of Milwaukee Water Works at that time, Kerry Lewis, who was all involved in the water works for over 20 years, all of a sudden announced she was going to move to another job in another city. And so that right there, to any organizer who is a real organizer, understands we're onto something, because all of a sudden she leaves, and then next you know, we start seeing other people leaving, and then the following year, the whole health department falls apart. And the health department falls apart when we started pushing the narrative of the lead program is not what they're saying it is. And we were catching them in a whole lot of lies in regards to lead and water. As a matter of fact, one of the biggest lies that was being told by the then the commissioner when he got on CBS 58 back in 2016, when he said there he could guarantee there was no lead going through the water. That was the biggest lie. We knew that that was the biggest lie. So, no, I don't trust this government. I don't trust this government right now today either, because they're still putting half-truths out there and they're still misinforming the community about the safety and measures needed to take precautions. They're not being totally, totally honest about how to protect yourself from this, and they're not being totally urgent on the issue of removing this, because right now when you look at this, they set themselves for the last 7 years a goal of removing 1,000 pipes a year. They only met that goal in the last 7 years one time, and we're right now on the cusp of the fourth month of the year, and they've only removed 113, and they set a goal for 1,200 this year. My math tells me
they're not going to make it.
You're not even.
Well,
let me say this, and they'll say, well, it's because of weather. You know, we've had a mild winter. I don't think weather is playing a role.
So hang on, Robert. We got to go to a break. My guest is Robert Miranda with Fresh Water for Life Coalition, and you can join us at 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. You know. Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Robert Miranda of Fresh Water for Life, FLAC. And, you know, Robert, I was asking you during the break, man. You've been at this, man, and you just are not giving. I already knew you were a hell of a warrior. You know, you weren't a Marine fighting the battles in Vietnam to just give up. In Beirut, to just give up, right? And so you keep on battling. You ever feel like, man, it's, you know, you're not going to get it done?
No, I don't feel like we're not going to get it done, because. You know, when you think about it incrementally,
you're taking on the government, man.
Well, when you think about it incrementally, you look at when we first started. Not many people talked about water,
right.
The pipes, and all that. Back in 2015, not many groups out there talked about that.
It's true.
Not many groups knew about it. As a matter of fact, when I started, there were a whole lot of groups who came to me and asked me to sit down with them and break it down for them.
Right.
So they and then after they learned the whole thing, then they went off on their own stuff. And that's fine. Damn.
Right.
But the key at that time was to at least educate the people about this. Give them the information and the knowledge that this is an issue and it is a poison that needs to be addressed. So that was accomplished. Then you look at, okay, now the next step is to try to move people to get the government to address this, to eliminate this from our environment. Now, what I'm dealing and grappling with now is, even though these groups and all these organizations and went ahead and got the information, now they're out there, so-called water experts, and they're being hailed and and given all kinds of goodies and prizes, they're not challenging the city the way it needs to be challenged, because actually a lot of these groups and organizations have basically partnered up with the city.
Yeah, I was about to say, and it's probably easier for the city to deal with them to, right. than the
because
the,
they're because they right. they're not gonna, you know, once you become a partner with the city, you're not going to alienate the city by right. saying you're not being truthful, because then you don't sit down and get a chance to get the goodies,
right?
You know, and so you know, a lot of these groups have done that, and you know what, more power to you, but don't step in the way of the organizations out there who are going to push the city to do what needs to be done. You know, we're not here as an organization, FLAC, the GTLO, and other organizations that work with us. We're not here to partner with the city. We're not here to go after grants. We're not here to do what needs to be done in order for us to be accepted and be invited to galas and soirees and stuff like that. We're here about getting this matter addressed, getting our tax dollars to be spent directly on this issue. When those dollars come in allocated to address this, they should be addressing the issue of removal rather than looking for programs and other different things that address lead, and then we take money out of the removal so that we could have these organizations and groups out there hiring people to do webinars and things like that.
So let me ask you, man. Bottled water is just, you know, people are
the plastics
making
and
so
stuff.
Much
yeah.
money
yeah.
off a bottle of water. They convince the people that if it's in a bottle.
Well, it's not necessarily true that it's all safe. Yeah. The plastic issue, the environment issue and all that, you know, it's an alternative. It's a way to reduce risk. But, you know,
but the water that they put in the plastic bottles
is coming from the very same. But the thing is they're not running. The water is not flowing through lead pipes.
OK.
And that's the difference.
It's a little safer.
Yeah, it's a little safer. The water that we're talking about flows through lead pipes. And that is much more riskier. That right there is basically playing Russian roulette with your health.
So even in the rural areas, let's talk about, you talk about the because they face the same kind of thing, right?
Sure.
The lead pipes that run from...
Same issues for them.
So let's talk a little bit about what that is. They may not know what that is.
Well, you know, first of all... Let's look at one issue that I brought up that right now is causing a stir at City Hall, and that is basically this idea that the seasonal change is coming. You know, the seasonal change is coming, and as things start to warm up and thaw, the concern that we have is that as the thawing begins and as the warming begins and then into the summer months when it's really hot and the cement and the streets become hot that you can't even walk on the asphalt anymore and stuff like that.
Okay, so hang on. We got to go to a break. Robert Miranda of Freshwater for Life, FLAC, is in the studio. You can join us at 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
man, it's bring back memories.
Yeah. Man, I know. And when I was, you know, thinking about, you know, music to play today, something just popped in my head, you know. Santana. Mm. We were young, right?
Oh, man.
Hey, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show.
Yeah, those were the days.
Yeah, as always. You can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us that same number. My guest is Robert Miranda of FLAC, Freshwater for Life Coalition. Robert, you were saying before we went to break about what transpires between the changing of the seasons with the lead and the pipes.
Yeah, this is a good time that the health department and the Milwaukee Water Works should be alerting the community that they need to not only use filters, but refreshing their filters and get their filters cleaned up or replaced or whatever they need to do. Because as the season changes and warmer temperatures come in and thawing begins, what happens is that as the ground starts heating up, the water in the pipes start warming up. You know, sometimes when you turn on your tap and you notice that the water isn't as cold as it once was, right, and stuff like that. Well, as the year goes on and the summer months come in and it becomes even hotter, what starts happening is that warm water can affect the protective coating that is inside the pipe, calcites and other minerals and the orthophosphate and stuff like that. And what happens is that the water becoming warm can then translate to making some of that stuff dissolve into the water. And it becomes soluble, even more soluble, and into the system by leaching. And this is where the idea that the city keeps promoting this really unreliable method of flushing comes from. So they say, well, most of the lead is that kind of soluble lead that's just transformed into water. You could just flush that out and let your water run for 2 to 3 minutes. The problem is that science has shown, and I cite the LSU, Louisiana State University science, on the issue of flushing. Their LSU science is more comprehensive and is peer-reviewed. And basically what it shows is that as the water runs for that long, you're not decreasing the chances of lead going into the water. You're increasing the chances of lead going into the water because as you remove the soluble form, the liquid form, out of the system, what is happening is you are creating enough energy in the pipe where the water that is moving through the pipes starts to loosen or starts helps to release loosened flakes, nanoparticles, particles into the water. And so flushing is not a real reliable way of clearing the lead. What you need to do instead of recommending City of Milwaukee flushing is you need to recommend filters. You need to push the idea of filters. You need to tell people, come to the city and we'll give you the filters. And I say come to the city, we'll give you the filters because this lead pipe has become a government-created problem. It was mandated by the City of Milwaukee in the 1870s. It was also mandated again in 1921. And the government...
What was mandated?
The use of lead pipes. That was the mandate at the time that lead pipes will be the only pipes connecting from inside the house to connect to the city water mains. And we wrote a history on this. We actually gave it to the city. We have no response to our history report there. But at the time, the mayor of the city had interest in lead mines and was making some good money.
Right.
And so he owned a lot of property, Walker's Point, Northside and stuff. And those houses that were being built, he then was able to get a mandate passed that those houses would be using only lead pipes to connect to the mains. And so he was making a lot of money. We got his tax returns over at Goldemeyer Library Archives. The city archives show a lot of what he did. So, you know, it was all done out of this mayor's greed, out of this system's ignorance, and we're paying for all that in the late 1800s, early 1900s.
Let me ask you, could it be hindsight that they didn't know any better back then?
No. Okay. They knew. I mean, even the Roman Empire knew that lead was not a good thing to run water through.
Right.
No, there were plenty of periodicals. There were plenty of studies, even in the 1830s, 1840s, that were suggesting that lead pipes should not be used for the distribution of water. So they knew. They knew. But they didn't care. Just like a lot of these for-profit kind of endeavors on our water system as a whole, don't care. They don't care about how clean the water is or how to take care of the water. They're only interested in making money and making profit. And whoever gets damaged in the interim, they don't care because they're taking care of themselves.
You know, Robert, this people listening might think this is much ado about nothing. And you will say that, do they have any idea the impact of what this is doing to children?
Well, it's
And adults too, but especially but
the impact is the early stages
of children.
Especially the impact of mothers that are childbearing.
Yeah.
You know, how this affects the fetus. You know, you got your pro-life people out there concerned about abortion. Well, this issue can contribute to miscarriages and does not allow that unborn, voiceless fetus to be saying something about the kind of water mama's drinking. And so, you know, they are essentially a part of lead in the mother system can contribute to miscarriages. We don't have much data here in Milwaukee because the coroner's office does not take blood samples or anything like that when an infant comes in that has disease. They just mark it off as SIDS right off the bat. They should go ahead and start taking blood tests and when an infant comes in to see what was the real cause of that death. My wager and my bet would be that once they do, they'd see that that poor infant probably had large number of blood lead levels. But again, there's no data to support me or not.
So Robert, you know, for those who are not aware, we're probably people would say, well, I don't see any chunks of lead in the water I'm drinking. What are you talking about?
Well, lead is not something you can smell. Lead is not something you could taste. Lead is not something you could see. It's very clear. So when you take a glass of water and you look at the water, and if the water's coming from a lead pipe, you're not going to see it. You're not going to taste it. You're not going to smell it. But after some time, you ingest that water and you take a blood sample of yourself, you're going to wonder why your blood lead levels were high. Now, I would wager a lot of money that many adults out there are not eating lead paint chips, are not having a mud pie, and are not putting their noses on windowsills to sniff up the dust.
Right.
You know, I would say that a lot of those folks, those adults out there were drinking water that is tainted with lead and wasn't being filtered, and they weren't taking the precautions.
So for people, again, who may not think of the seriousness of this and lead itself, there's a reason why they went to unleaded gasoline, right?
Right. There's a reason why
the paint
was banned in 1978. Yeah. There's a reason why lead pipes were banned in 1986. You know, the problem is that the messaging and the narrative coming from government is not consistent. And so when you have messaging and narratives coming from government, rather than be consistent to continue like they did with the lead paint, you know, during the time of the lead paint, that message was pretty consistent.
No question.
You know, but when it comes to the lead water, oh, there's all kinds of inconsistencies.
So is it possible that the lead paint, there was industry that you could sue?
And because this was government,
right.
The government don't want you to sue them. Right?
I mean, could that be, you know, why it's handled differently?
Those politics are there. Yes, yeah. Exactly. Those politics are there. As a matter of fact, the city of Milwaukee did engage in a lawsuit against the lead paint industry. I wasn't aware of it until they accused me of being in the pocketbook of the lead paint industry. That was Mayor Barrett's chief of staff who said I was working. I was like, what is he talking about? When I looked into it, I found out that indeed the city of Milwaukee had sued the lead paint industry and lost that lawsuit. But the bottom line is that, you know, Yeah, the government doesn't want to be held accountable for its mistake. It's an institution that had, and no matter how many administrations change, the bottom line is government is government, it's an institution, and it should be held accountable for the mistakes
so,
of the past.
So for the people who don't know the impact and the depth of the work you and others have done, they need to know that, you know, the city of Milwaukee did respond. Reluctantly.
Yeah, they responded.
Because
yeah.
they yeah. are doing
well,
something.
Well, the pressure was there. I mean, you can't sit there and just basically bold-faced lie to the public.
Well, you can if there's not anybody to push
if
back.
If you're Donald Trump. Yeah, right. yeah. If you're Donald Trump, if you got people out there blind and silly and supporting you, yeah, you'll lie all day. But in this situation, they did not have that kind of support. The city was not getting the kind of support that they needed when we were first out there arguing this. Today, I can't say that. Today, because the city was able to now gain partnerships with organizations and stuff that deal with this issue, those organizations now have been in the community just basically isolating and marginalizing our work and telling people don't listen to these folks and that's fine, they could go ahead and do that, but they won't stop the truth from coming out. And
right.
and you know, to this day I'm still out here, I'm still able to hold my press conference, I'm still able to put pressure on the city no matter what those folks do in the community and try to isolate me with people who basically are not really in tune with what's going on. But when it goes to the upper echelon, they know they can't stop me.
Let me ask you something, man. You know, I've had you on over the years, and for the work that you've done and that you continue to do. Other media sources have not been as forthcoming, have they?
There have been. That's an interesting point you bring up, because in the media in the beginning, there have been media who were really following through with some of the stuff. They were really, because it was new to them.
Right.
It was information that they were getting that it was new to them. But as the years went on and on and on, you know, the city has gotten very sophisticated and has been able to network with media. And they go around behind the scenes and say, you know, we got a scoop for you, or we got this for you, or working out some kind of arrangement. So the media doesn't follow it as much as it should. We do have, however, some journalists out there with some integrity, and they are willing to do what needs to be done to bring out the facts and the truth about this. But, you know, by and large, today, the media has been slowly backing away from reporting
so
this.
So when we come back, Robert, I want you to talk about the canned water campaign.
Sure.
That you guys have been doing across the nation that I think deserves a round of applause. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. My guest is Robert Miranda, my good friend with FLAC, Fresh Water for Life. We'll be right back.
Short to make a mistake. Let's think of each other.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Robert Miranda of Freshwater for Life, a.k.a. Flight. So, Robert, where are we now, man? Where are we at now?
Well, right now, there are a number of fronts that we are engaged in. At the national level, we are moving on, trying to revamp the whole lead and copper rule and have EPA do some more significant changes to guidelines and stuff. I'm working with national groups on that. Locally, we're trying to basically get the government here to recognize the fact that it has some responsibility for what has occurred and the lead pipes, and also trying to get the narrative together in a more concise and streamlined narrative so that people are not confused to take precautions and take care of themselves. We do have efforts right now and in the works to again meet with the Common Council President and the bureaucrats of the departments at the city. There is an effort right now to sit down with some folks up at the state to see what we could do to release some of that funding to the city. But I think that, you know, the city has to come to terms with the fact that it needs to think about using some more of those city dollars that it has rather than relying on federal and state money.
Let me ask you, man. There's some major property owners in the city of Milwaukee mm-hmm. that own tens of thousands of, yep. of properties.
Yep.
And many of those properties have lead
right.
pipes.
Right.
Who's responsible for that?
Those property owners or those major developments
right.
need to use some of that money they're getting to remove those pipes. You know, the city has responsibility to residents, residential homes. A lot of these owners are fixed income people that are retired and have a lot
right.
of no choice. But those huge property
the barons,
they got a lot of money. They can
right.
go ahead and spend that money to go ahead and clean up the pipes in their system. The city needs to be a little bit more aggressive with those folks and say, you know what? Take some of that profit and clean this up. This is a matter of health, and this is a public health issue that needs to be addressed. Let's get you to contribute to making sure that this is cleaned up out of your whole development system. But, you know, as far as the city working with residential homes, you know, we agree that there needs to be an effort to establish some kind of initiative to first get the homeowners to listen in on why they need to be done. And I don't think that's a problem because they were able to do it with the whole lead paint stuff.
Right.
You know, there is a model for them to follow to get homeowners to do things that the city wants them to do. And that's, you know, as effective as it was when they did the lead paint. I don't see why they can't do it with the lead
water.
So
what is the cost to have the pipes from the street to the home replaced?
They usually range between $7,000 to $10,000.
That's prohibitive to many people who own homes.
Exactly. That's, I mean, you could see why people are very hesitant. But, you know, the city does have a program where it does allow for homeowners that have lead pipes to come in and apply and be able to pay up to about $1,800 to remove, and the city will remove the rest. But there are some restrictions and some contingents there that we don't agree with that needs to be remodified. And I think that one of the things that need to be done first is to really promote the program so more people can
right.
Utilize it and do what they got to do. But, you know, this is not to say the city is not moving on the issue, but my main concern, our reason for constantly hitting hard is basically the city just does not have the kind of urgency that we see in other cities around the country.
And so is it a resource issue?
Well, they could say it's a resource issue, but we don't see that around the country. Like, for example,
New Jersey.
New Jersey, Denver. There are efforts here in Milwaukee that say we have a pipeline issue. There's a supply chain issue. You know, we're not able to do what we need to do because there's a supply chain issue. But, you know, when we checked with, for example, Denver, who was on the verge of doing like thousands of pipes removals per year, we asked their waterworks people, and their waterworks people said they don't have a supply chain issue. We asked other cities around the country. They said they don't have a supply chain issue. So why does Milwaukee have a supply chain issue? I think Milwaukee needs to communicate more with the state, do something like they were trying to do in Michigan, and that is to have the state work with manufacturers to supply the municipalities in Michigan to go ahead and provide the kind of supplies they need in order to remove pipes from those cities. You know, there are ways to do this, but, you know, just seems the city just doesn't want to take the initiative.
So let's say, Robert, there's somebody in the listening audience across the state who hear this and they're saying, yeah, we got these issues. Where do we begin? How can they contact you?
Oh, they can reach us. There is a website that they could go to, and it's called Get the Lead Out website. It's a website that has all our information, all the up-to-date information, contact information. You can always go to that website and reach us there.
You know, man, it's always great to have you on. You know, the door is always open, man, when there are people like you who, you know, fight and don't have to do it, but you do it. I mean, that's kind of what we need, man, to turn around this country and to force the country to do what's right.
I appreciate that. Yeah, we got to, you know, we got to challenge and question, and that's the way we move forward. If we're too comfortable, we're just going to miss out.
All right, man, you know the door's always open.
I appreciate
it. That's Robert Miranda from Flat, and Get the Lead Out. Got to go to a break. Go ahead. You're going to say?
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. Anytime, man. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Excellent.
All right, man. So this